Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Morning, everyone. Peter here with Gamertag Radio, day two. Is it day two, really, of E3? All right, so day two of E3 2018. Had a chance yesterday to do some hands-on with Metro Exodus from 4A Games. Thankfully, I have someone here to talk to us, give us more information, tell us the journey of RTM, as well as the story of 4A Games. So
Metro Exodus is the third game in the series. The first two games were pretty exclusively linear, story-driven, kind of crafted experiences, where as gamers played through, they were kind of like carried through the story, and there's very limited exploration within the environments that we had created. You could still explore, but it wasn't quite as open as other games might be, especially nowadays with all these like massive open world games. We wanted to do something a little bit different this time. The previous games were also nearly all underground within the Moscow metro system. The team, we've been kind of like living in that headspace for the past decade. And so even for us, we wanted to like branch out and, stretch our legs a little bit. Artists wanted to do something new. Designers wanted to do something new. Our fans have been asking for, something more open and big. So this time we decided like, all right, let's do it. Let's figure out what we can do. But we still wanted to make sure that it was Metro. We still wanted to make sure that it was a story-driven game at its core. So you still have some classic linear levels, but this new thing that we've introduced is these open sandbox environments. So as players play, they'll weave in and out between the classic linear levels and get to these big open spaces, like what you've played here at E3. This first one that we're showing off is it takes place in spring. The journey that RTM takes through this game spans the continent, goes across Russia, takes a year. And so through that year, you'll see all four seasons. And the one we're showing off right now is in spring, and it's one of the first stops on the trip. It's just south of Moscow in the Volga region, just off the Volga River. It's really exciting to finally show this off.
So one thing that I notice is, like you said, it's not the linear, almost like you're on a rail, the open expanse. Tell me how difficult was it? Because like you said, you were basically, you're always in a core, basically, I guess you can call it a corridor shooter in a sense.
Wide corridor, maybe.
Well, so now, you've got the open expanse. How difficult was that? Changing your mindset from what you were doing before to obviously what we're doing with the open world now.
So one of the things that we kind of benefit from in doing this is that some of the core team at 4A back in the day used to work on Stalker. So there's a bit of a open world experience on the team already. That being said, that was more of a traditional open world game and for its time as well. But what we wanted to do is not sacrifice anything that our fans really love about what makes Metro Metro. And so we tried to find this formula where we could blend these two things together. And that was probably one of our biggest challenges. It took about 2 years for us to start to kind of figure out what that meant. What we've come up with is a lot of exploration and around a core narrative thread that still carries you along through the story. But in these open areas, the player has a lot more freedom to kind of step off of that rail and do things that they want in the order that they want. There's so much more exploration in it. The critical path of these big open levels is many hours, and the amount of side content is many more hours as well. So there's a lot of opportunity for players to play this, to set their own pace and kind of play it how they want to play it.
Survival is a big key, obviously, in Metro. The series in general, but now it's almost like a survival action shooter. Tell me,
sandbox survival is the term that we've come up with for this,
right? Why the switch though? If it worked before, because obviously Metro is all Metro and Last Light, everybody was a fan. How important was it for you guys to appease the community by doing the bigger open world versus the traditional you know, the traditional on a rail shooter?
Well, I think for the, you know, this is the third one, and in general, we wanted to do something a little bit different and a little bit new. We needed something to bring to the table this time as well, because we could go even bigger and stay within Moscow. But I think that that it also fits the story arc of the character of the people that we've been on this journey with through the three games. The first two games take place in the Moscow metro system, and all you know is that everything outside of it is just a wasteland. There's nothing out there. Nobody's alive, and it's completely irradiated and impossible to get out to. And so in this one, there's kind of like this. It's still the classic, like, bleak, atmosphere of a Metro series, of post-apocalyptic Russian game. But there's this little air of hope of, like, what's out there. Now we finally know there is actually something out there. There are people surviving out there. Maybe we can find something that's better.
One thing I noticed, and actually I started playing with it a lot when I had my hands on yesterday, was the crafting, right? How important is that to the game?
It's very important. So in previous games, we had an economy system that was I think very unique to Metro and spoke very very much Metro, but it was also very simple. It was the bullet economy. You had two different types of ammunition. There was the regular dirty ammunition that wasn't very great to use, still effective. But then there was the military grade rounds that are a lot more powerful, but could also be used as money. And that system worked within the society that was established in the Moscow metro system. But outside in the wilderness, there's no established society. There's, you know, groups of bandits, groups, you know, cultists. There's, you know, random little groups of people that have kind of banded together, but there's no established network of anything outside. And so out in the wilderness, you have to kind of, you know, you're on your own more. So there's this new system of scavenging for resources and crafting. Where you can craft the things that you need at any time. So you can craft med packs and gas mask filters and ammunition and things like that as you need it from the resources. And you can choose which one you want more of if you have limited resources. In general, that idea of resource scarcity, managing how much you have of what you have, going around and searching for more to make sure that you have what you need, is definitely still in the game, and it's actually been enhanced in order to allow for these big open spaces that the player can basically do what they want in, as opposed to, you know, where we can kind of set the balance of how much resources players have because we know what they're going to play next. We don't know what players are going to play next because they can do things how they want.
Another thing you mentioned, you know, the dirty ammo and stuff like that. And I noticed yesterday, because I fell in the water a few times, and then I noticed the decay and the mud getting on my weapon. And then I got an alert that said, the dirtier your weapons get, the less you'll be able to do crafting or fix on that. Can you touch upon that?
So the idea of a dirty weapon malfunctioning or overheating, things like that, that's always been in the Metro games in the past, but it's kind of been like more of a, I don't want to say random occurrence, because it definitely was tied to certain factors, but it wasn't as prevalent of a game mechanic before. Now it's part of the core system with the weapons. You need to keep them clean. You need to maintain them. Otherwise, their performance will get reduced, and they will start jamming and overheating a lot more often. So you have to make sure when you get to a workbench, you always check the cleanliness of the weapon and clean them. It's all part of a new overhauled weapon system. Completely rebuilt all the weapons from the ground up. The returning weapons. Some new stuff. It's completely modular, and there's five hardpoints on every weapon where you can change out things like the barrels, the stocks, the magazines. You can add attachments, things like that. So the player has a lot more options for customization of weapons, not only visually or functionally, but situationally. So if you're about to, go on a stealth raid of some facility, maybe you swap out the long barrel for a silencer and, your scope for a red dot sight. Something like that. Similarly, go the other direction for something where you want more long range. So players are able to do that on the fly using their backpack. where more of the crafting and customization options are available at a workbench in these little safe house type areas. The backpack does give the players the ability to do some of that in the field. And it's just, again, like a lot of these systems that have been kind of rebuilt but are still familiar to the Metro series, been rebuilt to support this idea of more player freedom, more options, and the open environments.
You mentioned earlier about day-night sequences, day-night sequences, as well as you're playing throughout the year, right? So you've got the seasons, you've got the spring, summer, winter, fall. Obviously, it's something that's not something that you guys do a lot, because when you're in underground quarters, it's one temperament, it's one temperature, one in setting.
In the Moscow metro area, it's always been like, it's basically been perpetual winter, right?
Right.
In the previous games, it's always cold and snowy. We only had one season in the past. Now we have all four seasons, and the different areas that you go to will be along this journey, and depending on the time of year, it'll be a specific season. It gives us an opportunity to show off a lot more environments and a lot more different weather systems and things like that. And the day-night cycle allows the player to approach things from a different perspective and strategize. The player can change the time of day whenever they want. They can, you know, go to sleep at one of these safe houses with the workbench. And what that does to gameplay is if the player is approaching a bandit camp at night versus during the day, maybe at night the bandits are asleep and, you know, huddled around a campfire, kind of huddled around in the center of, you know, whatever that objective is, but it's dark, so, you know, you have the advantages of stealth. You can sneak around, do things like that. Conversely, during the day, you don't really have the cover of darkness to sneak around. However, there might be less guys in the center of their camp because they might be out on patrol. So you might be able to take them out silently out on the edges of their encampment without alerting the guys in the center. So it just kind of depends on how players want to play, or even, you know, going guns blazing, you know, kind of changes things, between night and day. And also similarly with the mutants, there's going to be more mutants out at night. They're going to be a lot more dangerous, to go out at night and wander around. Conversely, during the day, there's, you know, they might be less, they might be sleeping, something like that.
So the situational awareness of giving the option to the player of either taking them out or killing them is one thing that I kind of, like, one thing I took away from the presentation before we got to play was, like, you know, they gave the choice to the player. Like, you can go in guns blazing, or you can go in, like you said, more maybe in a more stealth. Does that actually affect your gameplay if you choose to take people down by, you know, the knockout versus the kill?
So there's always been a bit of consequence in previous Metro games for player choices and actions. And without going too much into it, players can expect that to return and be enhanced this time around. What we like to do is create an experience for players where they actually step into the shoes of Artyom and they determine what kind of person he is based on their own actions and how you like to play. So that's something that players can expect to still be a core element to how Metro games play.
All right, so you said the word enhanced. Obviously, we played yesterday in the Xbox One X in 4K beauty. So we're 4K treatment, HDR, the whole nine?
Yeah, full native 4K. So we're not doing any tricks to make it 4K on the Xbox One X. It's just native resolution. HDR support, unfortunately, we're not showing HDR today. We couldn't source the hardware, but it is already working, and it, I think, looks gorgeous.
Awesome. So when is it launch? When are people going to be able to play as Artyom?
So Metro Exodus launches February 22nd, 2019, and it's coming out on Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
Fantastic. For more information, where do they go?
You can go to metrothegame.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.